If I say don't come down here, they are going to be down here at least twice.
Yeah.
So at least this way we have a fighting chance of maybe getting the discussion in. But hello, welcome back to the Amazing Gamers Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Lamb. I am not an amazing gamer, but I know many who are, and I am thrilled to have an amazing gamer as my guest today.
Hey, I'm Sophie. I just run a few social media accounts where I talk about video games and how exciting they are and how much fun I have with them.
I have a ton of fun talking with you about video games as well. I was thinking about preparing for this conversation, this discussion, and I thought of how, did you ever see the show The Walking Dead?
I watched a little bit of it when I was younger. Yeah. But not too much.
I was never huge into it either. I have like one collection of the comics, which are pretty good. And I watched the show, but it was such a big deal at one point that there was Walking Dead. And then afterwards they had a show called Talking Dead where they had like a group of interesting people who would just talk about the show.
That's cool.
It is. And hanging out with Sophie on social media for me is kind of like Talking Dead in that it's like part of the fun. Like that's part of the fun of the experience. Like, yes, playing Persona 4 is fun, but talking about it with Sophie afterwards is also pretty fun. It's sort of a way to enhance the experience.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, that's okay. Part of my most big reason I enjoy Persona so much is because I get to talk about it with you and other people on social media. It makes the experience so much better.
It does. And there's so much to talk about with it, and definitely I'm excited that we're going to talk about Persona today because it is one of my favorite series. I am planning another run on Persona 4 for this spring, and I think it's fun. I don't love the PS3. Like, I don't make that decision lightly. I don't love the PS3. It's not the most fun machine to use
compared to nowadays. PS5.
What's up?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just especially compared to PS5 and the newer consoles. PS3 is just...
it is. I mean, that rest feature and the controllers for the PS5 are just so good.
Yeah, I love the controller.
So good. And then going back to the PS5, you have to wait for it to boot up. So if I'm pulling out the PS3, it needs to be a game that I really want to play. And I think I am going to do a hard run on Persona 4 just to revisit the original experience. And I'll tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah,
I first played Persona 5 Royal. Well, okay. First I played Strikers because that was the only Persona game that was on Switch at the time.
Oh.
This was in the dark ages of 2019 or so. And the only Persona game on Switch was Persona 5 Strikers. I ordered it, and I was like, okay, this is not what I was expecting, but I like it. I like these characters. I'm getting into this. And then I bought Persona 5. I busted out my PS4, and I bought Persona 5 Royal, and I was like, okay, this is what I was looking for. This is what I was like, yes, this is incredible. And I bounced off it a few times. But I kept going back to it. Like, I didn't love it immediately.
Yeah, same for me, yeah. I first played Persona 5 Royal, and I got to about, like, Kamoshida's palace, and I was just like, this is too much. There's too much going on. I'm not playing. And I dropped it, and then I went back to it a few months later, and I was like, oh, now I understand.
We have so much in common. Oh, my gosh, that's exactly it. And I had the same thing happen with Strikers, too. Strikers sat on my shelf for, like, 6 months before I really picked it up and was like, I'm going to lean into what I like about this game and give it, like, a good 5-10 hours and see where I come down on it. I was exactly the same with Royal. And then suddenly there was this point where I was listening to Beneath the Mask, and I just realized, I was like, I like this music. I was like, you know what? I like this game, like, a lot.
The music does so much for the game. It's kind of crazy. Like, it's so good, and it fits the aesthetic of the game. There's so much, like, the lyrics of everything. It's just so good. Makes the experience, like, perfect.
It is. Perfect is a good word for it. Last year, I played the original Persona 5 for the first time last year. That took a long time for me to get into. I was like, is there a point to this? Why am I doing this? I have so many games I want to play. Why am I circling back to a game that I've already beat when I have a half dozen games I want to play?
Yeah.
But it was different enough. And also, the experience is so good and so rich. I don't think you can really get it all the first time. And sort of going back, I appreciated different things that I really hadn't fully appreciated the first time.
Yeah, I feel like I have a copy of the original Persona 5, and I've been trying to get around to it, but it's just, it keeps getting pushed back in the backlog, you know. Oh. But I know there's so many differences there and different changes, and it's, I want to feel like, I want to have the experience that the people who played it when it came out the first time had, not just the royal version.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you have to wait for the right moment. Like, wait for the right moment. That's what I did. I found the right moment where, like, I was like, okay, there's all sorts of different gaming experiences you look for, and sometimes it just comes around. It's like with books, it's me and Stephen King with books. There's times where I just want something that's well-written, it's not a heavy lift, and it makes you feel good after. And that's Persona 5.
Yeah,
that's
for
basically
sure.
The Persona series for me.
Oh, yeah.
And if you find the right time for it, it's amazing. I will very briefly tell you a couple of things just that were, I mean, one, the experience is different because it starts out with that different intro and it ends differently. But there's also fun things like it is harder. So if you ever were like, oh, Persona 5, but hard.
Yeah, I played Persona 5 Royal on the hardest difficulty, and it was still like, it's difficult sometimes, but it's not really tough.
Yeah, I've noticed, I'll tell you maybe the biggest difference, and we can sort of segue into Shin Megami Tensei from this maybe, get that involved,
yeah.
But the biggest difference I noticed with Persona 5 Regular is, like, the final third of the game, I always had Joker equipped with Debilitate.
Yeah.
Like, basically every fight I went into.
Spam it.
You have to. It was hard enough so that I needed to do that in order to beat it. The way I don't think I could have beat the final area without spamming Debilitate, because it was hard.
And that's crazy, because I only ever needed to use Debilitate in Royal for, like, you know, some tough bosses or some, you know, extra fights and stuff. You didn't really need to think about it that much.
Yeah. Yeah, the final gauntlet that you take getting to that final boss fight in Persona 5, which, by the way, is an incredible final boss fight.
Like, yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. I love the music. Oh gosh. So good. Yeah. That's actually, this kind of brings it back to, for me, that was kind of the Shin Megami Tensei influence, like that ultimate boss fight moment where it's just, like, so badass, and, like, you know, you got the music coming in, you're making choices, you are, like, under pressure, you've got it coming at you from a few different angles, just so well done. I feel like when Shin Megami Tensei is cooking, you kind of have a bit of that same sort of experience where
I just recently finished Shin Megami Tensei Vengeance. And those final bosses, each one I was like, all right, this is the final one. This is so epic. This is the final one. And then there was another one. And then there was another one. And I was like, oh my gosh. This doesn't stop.
You'd recommend it? Would you recommend Shin Megami Tensei Vengeance?
Yeah. It's a lot harder than Persona, I would say. From straight out the gate, you are just, it's testing you constantly. You cannot just walk into a fight and go, I can just hit everything. No, you have to think constantly.
Yep. Metaphor was like that too.
If I hadn't played Metaphor before Shin Megami Tensei, I would have had such a tougher time, because at least Metaphor sort of introduced me to the press turn system and sort of got me into that kind of way of thinking.
The press turn, I go back and forth because I love the one more system and it is so much fun. The press turn, it's like, yeah, there's more stakes. There's just more stakes on every turn in that system.
Yeah. So it's like high risk constantly.
Yeah.
Right, and yeah. You're always having to like think, what's my next move actually going to be? Instead of just like, with a lot of, when I've been playing a lot of Persona, you just sort of can just, you can just do a normal attack and you'll be fine. But with Shin Megami Tensei, you're like, no, maybe they don't like that.
And if it's, yeah, and if your attack goes wrong, like, yeah, if it gets absorbed or reflected.
Yeah, you suffer if you mess up, make a single mistake. I've had fights that have started off fine in Shin Megami Tensei and Metaphor, made one single mistake, and the fight's done. It's over.
And that's part of the fun, is that there's mistakes and the turning point. No, I'm totally with you on that. That's one of the things I like about Persona 3 Fez, is that it's really the only Persona game that penalizes you when you mess up. Because and this is why, like, I'm going to make my pitch for Fez to you. You knew this was coming.
But, I still want to play it, yeah.
Oh, it's good. The thing about that one, here's the difference between Reload, which I loved. I loved Reload. I'm going to play Reload again on the hardest setting. I'm going to give it another shot. It wasn't the right time. I'd played like 250 hours of Persona 3 the previous year. I kind of needed a break.
Enough Persona 3.
I love it. Oh my gosh. And then I remember back before you played Persona 3 and you were telling me that you were playing Arena. And I was like, oh, the cast for 3 is in that one, aren't they? I was like, oh, I love them. I hope you like them, because
I didn't fully finish Arena because of the fact that the Persona 3 characters were in it. So I was like, maybe I shouldn't do this. So I haven't finished it. But I'm so glad I went back and played Persona 3. And then Reload. I was like, this was the right decision.
It's so good. Like that was why I was excited about Reload, is because people would look, you'd hear about it, and you'd be like, oh, there's one dungeon? And like, it's 300 levels? And you're like...
Yeah, I was a bit confused when that happened. I was like, am I going to be here the whole game? Like, what's going on? But then it made sense the more you play the game.
You do. I like the dungeon experience in 3. I like the music. It's a whole vibe, and you're just in the zone trying to survive and find the stairs. Like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
It's there's like, it's funny, I was talking to someone about Persona 1 and Tokyo Mirage Sessions last night, and I was saying sometimes, like, because Shin Megami Tensei is like this too, there's a maze and it's well thought out and you have to be actively navigating to find your way through. That's and Persona 1 is very much like that, and Shin Megami Tensei 5 Vanilla was like that. Sometimes you want that. Other times I just want to be in the zone and trying to survive and looking for the next stairway. And Persona 3 definitely scratches that itch. But to go back to what makes Fez like Shin Megami Tensei, here's one of the biggest differences between the two games, and it's a huge difference from a small rule change. If you use a group attack in Fez and you don't hit all of the enemies, you don't get a one more.
Oh my, that changes it up a bit, doesn't it?
Does. It makes it more like,
yeah, when you're so used to, you know, either hitting everyone and knocking them all down, but even if you miss, you get another turn, or hitting them one at a time.
Yeah. With Fez, there is an incentive to keep the ones that just hit one enemy and are stronger. Yeah. In Fez, that's a decision, because it also, in Fez, you miss more, noticeably more than the other games in the series. So it's got that. It's the most Shin Megami Tensei of Persona games, I think, in that respect, in that whole thing of stakes and being on the edge of disaster constantly if you slip up. Like, yeah. it's got those pieces. And it fits with the story that it's telling better, because I think in Persona 3, you shouldn't have the upper hand too much, given what you're up against.
Especially like Persona 5, there's a point in the game where you're not really scared of any enemies anymore. You can just sort of run in. You can run in and basically wipe them out, and there's no real like risk or anything.
That's tough. That's my thing with Royal, and why I've never done like a full new game plus, is because it does just become, it's still fun to play, but I sort of need that element of risk, or else it can become a little grindy for me.
Yeah, so, for sure.
So yeah, but that's a reason to pull out five. And that's actually the case I was going to make to you. It's a simple one, because I know we both have many games. It's that if you're like, boy, I'd love to play Persona 5 again, like instead of doing another run on Royal, that's when you pull out the old version you haven't played. Yeah. You're like, let's see what this one is about. And that's what I'm going to do, because I've played Golden a few times and I loved Golden, but I played. So what happened, just to go back, oh my gosh, I'm the world's most circuitous storyteller sometimes. But after I played Royal, I wanted to play Persona 4. This is back when I was first starting out. This was like 2020. I wanted to play Persona 4. And Golden was like available on Steam, but my computer was too old. It was available, I think, on the PSP.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's it. And I was like, what? How is this not? What? No, this can't be. No. And it was. The only way I could play Persona 2 back in 2021 was to pull out my PS3 and download it from the PlayStation Store. So I downloaded original Persona 4, and you can get Fez there too. That's how I played Fez. Fez is there too. Yeah. They're both $10.
That's crazy.
It's awesome. Crazy awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
But like,
just put them on PS5.
They should. And actually, regular Persona 5 is also on the PS3. You can play that on the PS3.
Yeah.
So they're all there, but they should get that on the PS5. And they should really get all of them available. But it worked out, because I got to play Persona 4 first, and then about 6 months later, they brought Golden to all of the modern consoles so that I could finally play both versions. And I was happy it worked out that way, because I was sort of forced to appreciate how each of the games was different. And I played it blind, so I didn't get the final boss, the real final boss in 4.
Oh yeah, because that's kind of complicated to get. You have to sort of go against what the game asks you. They're like, you should go home, and it's like, okay, maybe I should. But then you have to go searching around the town, and then you find, you know, Izanami. It's crazy.
And it's funny, because it's perfectly set up in the game. It's all there. But like most people, I think, I missed it. But it makes sense. It didn't come out of nowhere. It was set up in the game.
Yeah, it was definitely there. You just had to find it.
You do. And I did look at the internet to find that, and I'm looking forward to doing that. I did want to ask you, because I've always wanted to ask, so what is your favorite RPG series? You play a lot of them. I'm curious which one's your favorite.
That's tough, because Kingdom Hearts used to be the one series that I loved. I grew up with it. I've played all the games multiple times on every system. But then Persona came along, and I'm sort of like, I don't think I've had as much fun with a game series than I had with Persona. But maybe that's just like me being like, it's quite recent. I'm not sure, but definitely between Kingdom Hearts and Persona.
Yeah, I think Final Fantasy was my favorite for a long time. And I'm looking forward to telling my Final Fantasy VII story next week. Next week, I'm telling my Final Fantasy VII story. I was out on that series for like 10 years. And Lightning brought me back into Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy 13 was my first ever Final Fantasy game. And so I have a special place for Lightning. I love her.
I do too.
Aww, so I think cute.
She's incredible. So
I love her.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. And yeah, it was good. And then I sort of circled back and got into it again. But it's funny, because I always will try the Final Fantasy games and give them a fair shake, because I love the series. But it's like, there's so many RPGs out there, and you can kind of gravitate towards the ones that hit the most for you. And I think probably the Persona series was that for me, because it just, the things that Final Fantasy does, certain things very well every time. And then there's certain stuff it will do occasionally.
Yeah.
Like 9. Like Final Fantasy 9, my favorite in the series. Just, have you ever played 9?
Yeah. I was quite young when I did, but I remember some bits of it. And I remember loving Garnet and Vivi. Love them. They're my favorites.
Oh my gosh, Vivi. Yeah. That, I mean, Vivi is one of the best characters in the entire series. And Dagger. And I love Steiner too. I love Steiner.
Oh yeah, I love him, yeah.
Yep. I mean, he's Rusty. Just Rusty. And I mean, you're not supposed to love him at first, I don't think, but he yeah, definitely but earned my respect.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. He's really great. I love him.
Yeah. So there's like 9 is perfect like that, and I'm really enjoying Rebirth. Actually, the Rebirth experience is really landing with me. I'm enjoying it so much more than I thought I was going to.
That's interesting. I thought it was fun, but I wouldn't like say it was an amazing experience. I still kind of prefer Remake better.
Yeah.
I feel a lot of Rebirth is I think the open world is great, but there's some repetitiveness there, and it gets a little bit tedious after a while. But the story segments are like amazing and great. I love them.
They are. That's what I'm thinking of when I think of it. Like, I just was at the part with Casa del Sol, and the part where Barrett sees the people like harassing the shadow people.
Oh yeah, and he sort of runs in and goes like, "Get away from them."
He does, and then he thinks about it afterwards, and you have a choice. I love that I had a choice of what to say to Barrett, and that the choice of words mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Rebirth. It's a good thing with Rebirth. You can sort of pick and choose what you say to them, and their relationship with them changes depending on it.
Yeah. And he's one of my favorites, so that was pretty cool. But to go back to the thought, I go on tangents a lot, I apologize, but
it's good.
Persona does that thing where you might have a certain impression of somebody initially, and over time you sort of get to know them better. And I love that whole process of it, how it's very character focused. I think Persona 4 is a great game that you can go back to more than once, because I think you'll notice different things in it depending on where you are at with your own life, that you're sort of, yeah. You is kind of interested in other people, and he's sort of interested in hearing about what they're dealing with in a very real sense. And I feel like because of that, depending on where you are at in your life and what's going on in your life, you're going to kind of identify with different characters more because of whatever they have going on. And I love that about Persona 4. It's why, like, whenever the discussion of which game is the best comes up, I can never set that aside, because I think that is really what 4 is about. It's sort of that mosaic of coming of age and trying to become better and do better and grow and being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of the shadows, you know, the main cast get their personas by facing like the worst parts of themselves and overcoming that and accepting it. And that's a huge theme about the whole game, not just the main cast, but most of the characters you meet sort of have that kind of epiphany.
Yeah. Great word. It's true. That's how you look at it. They get that power within by coming to terms with that. So I think it's a good metaphor for growth. So I'm really looking forward to that. And if I play it, I might actually finish that series about the social links at some point. Those are time consuming. Those usually take about like 10 hours a piece.
Oof. I mean, I've read quite a few of them, and they're really good, and a lot of it aligns with what I think. Mm. But then you also add some more like in-depth analysis to that, and it's interesting to see other people's sort of how they see the characters along as well, like with me.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that you did those and you tell me what you thought. It's I always try to add what it meant to me and what I thought it was sort of driving for. And almost every one of those that I do, where I watch the whole thing and I really dig into the frames, I do learn things about the characters. Like, I have an idea of what I'm going to write about characters at the beginning, Like with kanjis, I knew what I was going to write. I had a pretty good idea of what I was going to write about kanji. But I discovered things in there too. There were things in there that I had forgotten about because there's so much that comes at you in the course of that story, and to have it sort of sit through it all at once. It's like going to the Near concert and you're seeing the highlights of the two Near games, all of them in an hour and a half. And you're like, oh my God, I forgot how much these games broke my heart. Why am I doing this all in less than 2 hours? But Persona 4 is also like that, which is very rich. And when you have a concentrated dive into it, you can sort of really, I gained a new appreciation for each of those links when I did that. And most of the characters I felt like I understood better after taking that closer look. And Chie and Yosuke were two really good examples of that, where I thought that I knew what they were about, but once I dug in and I really looked at everything in there, I sort of gained a deeper appreciation. And I'm looking forward to doing that with Yukiko at some point.
Yeah, I love Yukiko as well. She's so silly.
She is. It's awesome too. Like the parts where she'll start laughing. It's the definition of nasty.
I've just been playing Golden for a bit, and I just got to the bit where Yukiko joins the team and Teddy gives her the gag glasses, and it's just so silly. It's like there's the first insight into Yukiko's personality. She's not just like this little precious, like prim and proper girl. She's silly, and I like how that comes straight out the moment she joins. So funny.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, and thank you for that reminder, because that's the thing about just watching the social links online, is you can overlook where the story plays in. And you're so right that's like a moment where you really start to see her for the first time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that, because I think I'm going to have to include that, because that is kind of a key moment. And then the series keeps calling back to the goofy glasses over and over again. So Kingdom Hearts, I do have to ask. I was writing you a letter a couple of days ago, and my daughter Stella was down here. She's going to be 5 soon. She wanted to know all about what I was doing. And so I saw it. I was like, I'm writing my friend Sophie. We're talking about what we're going to talk about. And I was like, you know, she likes this game, Kingdom Hearts. And she was like, you know, she was suddenly curious. And I showed her the trailer and like her eyebrows like went up. And I was like, oh, should I dig out the PS3? I have the old, like remix version somewhere. Is that a good starting point, or should I get out the Switch, or is it on the PS5?
You can get them basically on every platform now. PS5, Steam, Switch. Kingdom Hearts 1 is probably the best point to start with if you're wanting to get into the series and to introduce someone into it, for sure.
I think she's about ready. She needs some new games. I have played probably 400 hours of Princess Peach Showtime, and she never gets tired. She just loves it. It's very cool. I mean, she's having some fun with Kirby and Lost Land, but I need a new game, and Kingdom Hearts might be it. I'm it's auditioning in the near future, I think.
I mean, I got into Kingdom Hearts because my parents bought me the game because they saw the Disney characters on the front and went, oh, this must be good for a 6-7-year-old, and they gave it to me, and I was like, all right, I'll try this, and it was I haven't stopped since then.
So, did you know Final Fantasy before Kingdom Hearts?
No, I got into Final Fantasy because of Kingdom Hearts, because I saw there's Cloud and Squall, and I was like, who are these guys?
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. So that was your introduction to Final Fantasy. That is so cool. I'm someone who took a look at Kingdom Hearts because the Final Fantasy characters were in it. Yeah, that was, I came at it a different point of view. So what was it about that series? People have really strong feelings about the Kingdom Hearts series. I've come to realize.
Yeah, the Kingdom Hearts fandom can be very opinionated on things.
Why is it so, why did it land so well for you?
I think it was... the main character Sora is such a sweet, and he would do anything for anyone, and he consistently does that. And his friendship with Donald and Goofy, like, they travel as a trio throughout most of the games, and their interactions are funny. The games themselves have some really goofy moments, but they also have some really heartfelt moments and moments that made me cry. Like, it's got everything.
That's awesome. So it's worth taking. I think that sounds like a journey I would like to take with my daughter, and she loves Disney. So
yeah,
she watched Lilo and Stitch recently, and I had a nice time sitting down with her because she wants to know all about it. She knows that I'm an old English major.
Yeah.
So she will start talking about Lilo and Stitch, and she's just sort of curious about all of it. She kind of gets me rolling a little bit.
There are so many Disney characters, and a lot of the places you go to in the games are based on the stories that they're from. So there is a Lilo and Stitch world in one of the games, and you can meet Stitch, but it's on the spaceship part.
Yeah.
But before like he meets Lilo, it's on the spaceship. But it's like it's either the full story or it's like part of the story. But there's always a reference back to the films they're from.
Oh, she's gonna love that. Like, what are you playing now that you've finished with Vengeance?
I'm replaying Son of Fort Golden at the moment. Just for the third time in like 2 years. I just can't get enough of the game.
Oh my god. Yeah, I think you do you have a PlayStation 3?
Not at the moment, though. I used to have one, but it finally died on me.
Oh, my fingers are crossed. My PlayStation 2 died. I had a PlayStation 2, and it died. Yeah.
It's very sad. I have to be somewhere.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, so hidden somewhere in my attic.
Okay, so I think the strategy for you might be to dig that thing out at some point, and then keep your eyes peeled for a copy of Persona 4, so that, because you're kind of in that zone of where you love it, and you're like, should I play Golden again, or if I could, can I get my hands on Regular and sort of see, because there are little differences. It's not as pronounced as 5 or 3. Mm. But it's worth experiencing. I know there's someone I followed on Twitter who did a whole restoration of the fog. Did you ever see that?
Oh, yeah. I think I followed that account. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, Brawler. Brawler was someone who I talked with a bit on Twitter. But yeah, I didn't know he was into the modding scene until that whole thing dropped. And then it's funny because he felt strongly about it because there was some magazine that wrote about his mod.
And I think I saw that too, yeah.
I will share this one with you really quickly because it's funny. I've been a professional writer. I put my writing out there, so I do not lightly critique the work of others. I know how that is. I've been in those shoes. I did feel like the author of that piece, maybe they were just having some fun with it. You know, I'm sure they had a lot of things they were writing. I don't think they truly appreciated why someone would want to play Persona 4 the original way, where you're more traveling in a mist and things are foggy and the game is a little darker. Golden is very bright.
Yeah, and you don't really feel the fog that much. Like, they say it's foggy and it's like, is it though? I do like the rain in that, though. The rain is a vibe.
Oh, there's so much to love about Persona 4. And I love how it's bright and shiny. And I love...
Yeah.
Was that Sky Full of Stars that you can go downtown and see your friends on a hot summer night and hang out?
Yeah.
You can't do that in regular Persona 4. That's something they added. I will say that's one complaint with the original Persona 4 is there's not much to do at night. You're going to hang out and read a book quite a few nights.
I'll make paper cranes.
You're going to work and use room, and you can go fishing at night. And the fishing game is I don't know how to describe it other than fairly awful. I've never caught the river monitor in the original version.
I've got all the fish in right in Golden, but obviously I've never played original P4, so.
The game is easier in Golden than it was in the original one. You have to push the button really fast, and then the button will change, and you have to change.
I see, yeah.
Golden is just
spam the button in the middle of the bar and hope it doesn't go outside the edge.
Yep, it's easier in Golden. It's harder. It's more frustrating. It's more like a Final Fantasy minigame.
Gosh.
I mean, but like now that I threw that out there, I will just for the record. I mean, the fishing game in 15 was really pretty good. Like,
yeah, I loved fishing. I spent too much time fishing in 15.
It was fun. It was well done. I mean, that's the thing, and I think we both kind of agree there that like the newer Final Fantasy games, there's going to be things in it that if you love the series, you're going to have a good time with.
Yeah, for sure.
That's definitely my book on Final Fantasy whenever the discourse comes out. I just sort of focused on what I like of each game. And then, sorry, you know, you shrug. I remind people sometimes Final Fantasy X was an amazing game. It had some of the worst minigames I've ever played.
I cannot stand Blitzball. I couldn't play it, refused to play it, hated it.
Did you ever beat Penance?
Don't think so, no.
Trying to beat Penance without attack reels, I'm sure like the internet might correct me here, but I was good at Blitzball. I got the hang of it, and I got it. I've heard that to beat Penance, you really need Waka and attack reels.
Yeah.
But that stuff. I couldn't do the chocobo racing.
I was okay. Dodging 200. Like, why is it so unreasonable? Why do you have to do 200 in a row? Why would they do that?
Do you ever finish it?
No, never did that. I got like about 50, 60, and then I just would just mess up and I'd keep trying. And it, like 3 hours later, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore.
Same. Kamari's Bugs.
Oh, I don't even remember that one.
It was so bad. It's like you have to run down the village path. You have to run down the forest path, and there's red and blue bugs, and you have to like dodge the bugs. And if you don't dodge the bugs, you get a random encounter, and it's on a timer.
Oh my gosh, no.
So maybe you can get like one random encounter and still beat it, but I've never beaten that one. There's a few. So even 10, though it was a classic, it still had some real duds in there. And it's good to remember that even the classics, you know, are going to have their moments.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I think I have time for like one more question. And it's a good one. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope we can do this again at some point.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was really fun.
It's awesome. The other one was, I was recently talking to the Trails fan who got me into Trails. And okay. I was like, because like one of the things about this is that you get to ask people questions that you've thought about, but the moment never really comes up. And for me is like, how did you get into video games? Love that question. I'm going to ask you that before you go. But I asked her how she got into Persona, and she's like, you know, after Persona, she sort of took the Persona to Trails time pipeline.
I see, yeah.
Which I didn't know existed, but it sort of makes sense because Trails is very focused on characters, and it's on getting to know them better over time. And it's and like just sort of the arcs, if you love character arcs, like consistently with setup and payoff. Like it's very good at setup and payoff. The things that are happening in it are usually going to matter later on and have some depth to them. And you were talking about heart-to-heart moments, heartfelt moments in Kingdom Hearts. Trails will be very silly and funny, and then it will sort of hit you with these like heart to heart moments where the main character will tell, I'll give you an example because I'm playing Trails from Zero, which is a very good game that's on Switch. It's about a detective coming to his hometown. He's like a, you know, rookie detective, and he's thrown in with this oddball group. And they're a lovable oddball group, but he gets to know them. And at first you just know they're three oddballs, and then, you know, four with him. But you get to know them, but one of them is this goofy guy named Randy who's just kind of this goofy bro. He's the goofy bro warrior type. But he has moments where he kind of shows you what he's all about. and they have moments where, like, sort of out of nowhere, Lloyd will tell him, like, what he really thinks. Like, Lloyd will really, for a moment there, he'll just sort of talk about how he feels and what he really thinks. And the Trails series, like, those are the moments, I think, that for Trails fans, they're just like, ooh, yeah, that was... And Persona has moments like that, too. I think it's a similar sort of appeal. So I could sort of see how there would be a pipeline there. I hope when the Trails in the Sky remake drops, maybe you'll take a look at that one.
Yeah, I am interested in trying the Trails games. And seeing that remake seems really fun.
I'm excited because there's a lot in those games. And I missed lots of it. And I'm curious to go back. And sort of knowing the story too going in, because at first I was like, it seems very light and silly because the main character Estelle is just this girl with like boundless confidence, and she's and things work out for her, and she like connects with people, and she's very helpful, and she takes what she's doing very seriously. She's like a rookie bracer, which is what she's wanted to do her whole life, and she just is all in on it. And even when she makes mistakes, like her enthusiasm and her pure heart will kind of carry the day. So I didn't know what to make of it. I was like, okay, is this like, you know, is this like an Animal Crossing type RPG? But then when it starts getting serious and you can see that she's still that kind of person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does kind of sneak up on you. But
that's so super interesting. Yeah.
In a good way. Yeah. Estelle, when I say that Estelle is one of the best RPG heroes ever, that's not hyperbole. I think Estelle is an amazing character, and some of the other ones that you get close to, you really feel for too, because they talk a lot, they chat a lot. Estelle has a lot of character, and she's kind of fun to hang around with.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, a little different than our guy Yu, who doesn't talk to
That's why I like the anime so much, because Yu has so much character in the Persona 4 anime. It's a shame that he's not...
No, keep going.
Oh, he has so much character in the Persona 4 anime, and it's a shame it's not as much as in the game. You see a bit of it with some of the dialogue choices in the game, but Persona 4 anime Yu is such a funny, silly guy, and he's so great in the anime.
I need to see the anime. I was cruising the eBay last night and Amazon to see how much it would cost me to watch the Persona 4 anime.
Mm.
It's going to happen someday, though, because it's one of those things. It's just it's got to be the right time and place. But they need to make that thing more easily available.
Yeah, I remember struggling to find it. I think I watched it on some streaming site that doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah,
but it was a pain to find for sure.
But it's worth tracking down. I think I might have a Persona 4 revival at some point this year.
Yeah.
So final question. This has been amazing, but my time's running out. I got animals. I've got a critters event with the kids at 10.
Oh.
It's a full day. It's a full holiday over here in Massachusetts.
Sounds fun.
The one last, it's going to be amazing. And they're going to the pool, which is a huge deal for them. Aww. They love going to the pool. It's a big day. It's a big holiday for the kids. How did you get into video games?
I think my parents just used to buy video game consoles and sort of, I think they didn't realize I liked the games. They were just sort of like, kids like games, right? So they would buy the consoles. So I had I got a Dreamcast, which is really old now. And then we got I had PS1, PS2, and then the more they bought, the more I was like, oh, right. And then when they bought the PS2 and Kingdom Hearts came along, that was when I was like, all right, I'm a gamer now. That's what I do.
Nice. There is that moment where video games become like what you always wanted them to be.
For sure.
For me, that was Legend of Zelda on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh,
that's like
interesting.
When I got into them, when I was a kid, we still had arcade machines. I'd go places and they'd have the arcade games. That's what got me into it. But I was like, man, this one hit and you die business. I was like, can we do something about this? You know, I'd be playing Donkey Kong or Pac-Man. When Legend of Zelda came out, I was like, okay, this is it. This is it. I have an inventory. I can save my game. There's dungeons. So much better. I was like, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. I was like, I need more of this. And we've definitely gotten it, I think.
Yeah, so many games now.
It's amazing. I probably have about, like, I have so little time for gaming these days, but the games that I'm playing are so good that, you know, it ends up working out. But yeah, so Kingdom Hearts was really the one. So you had the Kingdom Hearts to Final Fantasy to Persona pipeline.
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah.
I think that's a good, and maybe someday Trails will be the next stop on it. We'll see. Can I tell you one other funny thing about Trails? The translation in it, the NPCs in Trails are incredibly deep. Basically, all the NPCs will change what they say every time you advance the story. And when it was first getting translated to English, it was this immense job that was put on like a couple of contractors. And it was just an overwhelming amount of work. It's kind of a miracle they ever got it done. And it's just interesting that it might not have gotten localized, or I think the sheer size of the game made it so it took longer for it to get localized back in the day, because the original Trails in the Sky was not really an overnight hit. It took a little while for the series to catch on, but the depth of the world, and that it's the sort of place where each shopkeeper has their own name and you can talk to each shopkeeper. I don't choose to do that very often. but there's times where you can find quests by talking to people. Yeah. And you'll talk to someone and they need your help. So that like thing of Final Fantasy where you go into the new town and you need to talk to everyone.
Yeah.
Like definitely Trails is sort of in that ballpark. And I would say Trails is kind of like somewhere in the vicinity. It's the Persona series is there. You don't really choose what you say very often in Trails. It's more like Final Fantasy in that it's got like a straight line. But the straight line has these like incredible characters and arcs, and there's mysteries. There's like mysteries. There's things that you want to figure out and get to the bottom of.
Yeah.
Because you're either a detective or a bracer who's trying to protect the people.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Interesting.
That's all the time we have for Amazing Gamers today. I'd like to thank my fantastic guest, Sophie, once again for joining me on this holiday Monday. It's been fantastic, and I hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, I hope we can see you again soon. That'd be great.